Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. Guys, I'm really excited for this podcast because I think it's going to be super helpful. It stemmed from a question I got actually just today, and this connection between the neck and headaches and migraines. I want to talk more about it. I want to dig into it because, as you all know, if you've listened to more than just this one podcast, I'm very passionate about understanding this overlooked problem when it comes to headaches or migraines, namely the problem that we should move very well in the upper part of our neck and we don't. And there's an impact on not only the rest of the neck, the shoulders, the jaw, but pain signals that are sent into our head causing pain of all types and what we know of as headaches or migraines. It's an overlooked problem. It's a problem that we treat every day here at Novera Headache Center. We treat people with all types of diagnoses, all types of different migraine diagnoses, and they get better. And it's become a passion, not because I suffered with headaches or migraines and have this incredible story of my own, but because I was able to help people with this problem. And I went on this journey to try to understand why the healthcare system had failed them up to the point of them seeing me. These people had suffered for decades, tried all the medication, nothing had worked on their neck for a couple of months, and their migraines were virtually gone. That sounds pretty incredible. It was pretty incredible, and it motivated me to continue into this space. As I continue to research and try to understand why am I able to help these people when this migraine thing is a neurological problem, largely came to find out that the story that this was a neurological problem had flaws to it, and there were holes in it, and there were incomplete aspects of it, and it wasn't convincing enough to say, okay, I'm not actually getting to the source of this. I may actually be stumbling onto something that is really going to help people. So fast forward to today, it's 5.5 years in business. We've helped close to 1,000 people, and the same is true. And my mind has been more and more made up, and that's why I have this podcast, and that's why I'm motivated to tell you all about this good news. Okay, so digging into neck pain and headaches. Now, what's interesting is anyone with a migraine, and if you're on the internet, if you're on any sort of Facebook groups or social media groups, there's a lot of different options out there, and there's a lot of different like explanations behind what is happening when you have a headache or migraine. People are on this journey to try to figure out what is going on. Now, I would say the explanation that's provided, or the explanation to the extent that the explanation goes, if you're talking to a neurologist or a medical doctor, is they'll talk about this cortical spreading depression. It's sort of like the neurons in your brain are firing in this wave type pattern that wraps up and around the head. They may talk about serotonin levels and why these drugs called CGRPs work, and how interacting with serotonin and this specific protein impact it. They might talk about central sensitization and how all these nerves are just really hypersensitive, and the brain has sort of learned to be ultra sensitive to this pain pathway. We're going to jump into that a bit. Now, a systematic review in 2022, a systematic review means they compile all of this data of all these other research articles that are out there. So all the research that's been done, they compile it and they say, what this is the highest level of research that you can do. Found that 77% of episodic migraine sufferers will also experience neck pain. 87% of chronic migraine sufferers will experience neck pain. Okay, so we have to ask the question. It's commonly known that neck pain and migraine go hand in hand. If you experience migraine symptoms, you likely have experienced neck pain as well. Now, even in the scenario where people say, my neck really hurts, and then it shoots up into my head, even in that scenario, which is actually very common, it's rare to find someone who says, my neck is the problem and I know my head doesn't have an issue. Now, people intuitively know, and that's oftentimes who we're working with, is people who are just like, yes, I have a neck problem, and this guy makes so much sense. That tends to be who we're catching. I would like to speak to both that person and affirm that, but also the person that believes that, okay, I need to work on my neck, but the migraine thing is separate. All right, so that's what this podcast is going to be about, that sort of separation that's in the literature and is in our healthcare system of, yeah, you have a migraine, and the 77%, 87%, so I mean almost 90% of people with chronic migraine are experiencing neck pain, but it's communicated as a separate thing. So, and even in the circles that I run in or when I'm interacting with someone outside of, you know, sort of in a, whether it's a neurologist, primary care doc, they'll usually say, oh yeah, like I'll send people to you because I know they have neck problems. Or, oh yeah, we'd love for you to speak on how they can manage the neck. But there's always this slight separation between the neck pain and the actual migraine. And there's this, that separation makes it appear that, okay, you have a neck problem. Sure, we can get behind that, but it's not actually causing your migraine symptoms. All right, so I'm going to bridge that gap here. We're just going to go on a little journey of asking questions, asking the why, and sort of digging into this. I'd love to take you guys on this journey of asking questions. Obviously, you can't answer, but I love asking questions. I love digging deeper. And I think what we'll find is that it's actually really reasonable to think that your neck actually has a problem and it's sending pain into your head and causing all of these symptoms of central sensitization and cortical spreading depression and these problems that we're seeing. Those aren't the cause. The neck is actually the cause. All right. So in 2023, there's another article that came out talking about a couple of big words here, but the convergence between upper cervical and trigeminal nociception via the trigeminal nucleus is the likely mechanism for neck pain and migraine. So basically what that means is that there are these neurons, they transmit signals. In this case, we're talking about pain. The upper cervical is referring to the neck. Okay, so it's saying the coming together between the upper part of the neck and the nerve in the face, the trigeminal nerve that picks up sensation from the face via the trigeminal nucleus, which is in the brainstem. It's just this little pocket of nerves that come together. Pocket's probably not the right word, but it's called a nucleus, and it says it's likely the mechanism for neck pain and migraine. Now, what it's saying there and what's assumed is that it's assuming that the cortical spreading depression, the central sensitization of the brain itself is sensitizing the neck because of these common pathways through that trigeminal nucleus. All right. So I don't expect everyone to have listened to all of my podcasts, but if you have been following this, you've probably heard me mention the trigeminal nucleus because this pathway works both ways. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's basically saying like this is 2023, the latest evidence. It's trying to explain why all these people, almost 90%, have neck pain, and it's saying that you have neck pain because your brain is manifesting a hypersensitivity, and because there's a connection through these neurons to the neck, then your neck hurts. All right, so it's kind of like we're asking the question: is it the chicken or the egg? And we're going to go down, like I said, we're going to ask ourselves some questions to see which is potentially more reasonable to think. Now, a few questions we're going to ask. So chicken or the egg, head or neck, all right? Head or neck. Is it the head or the neck? Because if we say it's the head, it has basically the medical system is doing everything right. If we say it's the neck, that has massive implications of like, okay, we're actually doing something wrong and this is a fixable problem. So, we want this to be team neck. Team head is, there's not as much hope there, but that's just from, you know, a high level view, head or neck. Okay, that's what we're going to ask questions about. Okay, the questions we're going to ask are, how do we evaluate each? Because if it's the head, we need to make sure we're evaluating that appropriately. If it's the neck, we need to evaluate the neck appropriately. Okay, so we could err if we're not evaluating one or the other appropriately, because we could miss something and then we assume it's the other. Okay, so do we evaluate each appropriately? And then the other question is, do pain in either lead to a viable explanation? Okay, so we need to think, does it make more sense for one area to cause pain, sending it to the other? Or is so the head sending pain to the neck, or the neck sending pain to the head? Okay, so we need to understand, like, how, what's more reasonable when we look at the anatomy, for one to send pain to the other? So we're going to ask that question. And then how do we prove it? How do we prove that we evaluated it properly and we understand the mechanism of it? Do we see the results? All right, so those are the three questions. They feel like reasonable questions to me. If they're not, please email me or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. So it's The Headache Doctor or Novera Headache Center on Instagram. Okay, so first off, how do we evaluate each? Now, if we'll start with the head. We evaluate the head based on imaging. We can't see inside the head. We can't see inside to look at our brain. And what I'm saying is, like, clinically, if you just walk in, I don't necessarily know what's going on inside your head. I know what's going on inside your head because of what I see manifest as far as movement, as far as pain, as far as things like that. Okay. So the brain is largely functioning to, we have efferent and afferent. So efferent means it sends messages out. It sends messages like, hey, lift your arms up overhead, contract these muscles, that sort of thing. Speak, blink. And then it also receives input. Receiving input would be like pain, sensory inputs of any type. Okay. So it projects and then it receives. The brain is just taking all this information in and doing something with it. All right. Now, to evaluate the head, to understand if the head has some problem with it, which is reasonable, we would do imaging. So to actually look inside, we'd maybe do an x-ray, an MRI, a CT scan. Imaging has actually become really good and really accurate. So we can see inflammation. We can see fluid that shouldn't be there. We can see tumors. We can see things that occupy spaces that they shouldn't. We can see inflammation, which would indicate that there's some sense of pain. We can see bleeding. We can see all these things inside the head without, you know, doing any operation. We just scan it, we get the image, and we can understand what your head looks like. And as far as evaluating something that would cause pain in the head, that's pretty reliable. It's valid. We can see things like fractures. Anything that's occupying space can sensitize what's called the dura, which is the sheath that kind of wraps around the brain or the nervous system. If there's pressure on that, that can also cause pain. The brain itself doesn't have what's called nociception or pain receptors. And so they can actually operate on the brain and it doesn't hurt. You can actually be alert and awake for it. It's just the tissue, like the skin, the skull, the dura. There's things around the brain itself that are sensitive. And so there needs to be some sort of pressure. So there'd be like a brain bleed, a tumor, maybe some sort of infection, which would be like throughout your spine. Something like that. Okay. So we're really good at screening and catching those things. And that's usually what people go through. They go through that process of, okay, your head hurts, and we need to figure out why. So let's take you through these scans. And our healthcare system's really good at knowing if those things are the problem. Now, if they're not the problem, then okay, this is where we transition to the neck. All right. So you have headaches, you have migraines, you say your neck hurts. Okay, we looked at the head isn't causing the pain, meaning there's nothing obvious in your head, so let's look at the neck. Now, how do we evaluate the neck? Now, we look at the neck the same way we look at the head. We do an x-ray, we do an MRI, we do a CT. Now, those are still images. Now, obviously, we can see all the same stuff. We can see inflammation, we could see bleeding, we could see a fracture, we could see that, we could see all those things within the neck. Now, the difference between the head, the skull, and the neck is that in the head, we're not moving. There's not movement that occurs. Our skull is meant to protect the brain, And so it's just this thick bone that wraps around the brain. It encompasses all of the central nervous system as it's comprised of the brain itself and the brainstem, which exits the skull. And then we get into the neck. Hey guys, if you are listening to this podcast, the chances are you have headaches or migraines and you're searching for relief outside of medication. Well, maybe you've tried different products on the market or devices, traction units, things like that, but they haven't really scratched that itch and provided you with the relief you're looking for. Well, what we've done here at Novera is taken the principles that we teach and abide by in our in-person care and come up with a product that allows you to apply those same pressures and improving mobility to the upper part of your neck at home. You see, it's called the SAM device, Simple Affordable Migraine Relief. And the device allows you to improve mobility to the upper part of your neck. And we are excited to announce that it's available today on our website. Visit NoveraHeadacheCenter.com, click on the SAM device page where you can look at videos and learn more about the SAM product and purchase it for yourself and start treating your headaches and migraines more naturally without medication. Again, that's NoveraHeadacheCenter.com and click on the SAM device page to purchase your very own SAM device today. So the neck is very mobile. The neck has tons of movement to it, and it has all these really cool-looking bones, these vertebrae, that interact with each other with rotation, nodding, side bending. Okay, and so we can use those same images, X-ray, MRI, CT scan, but what we have to do is we have to look at the neck through a lens of, okay, how does it actually move? Because its primary role is actually to move. It's not to protect the brain. It's not to be this thick structure that largely makes sure that, you know, we're not getting concussions or vital injuries to the brain itself. The next primary role is to allow us to move and turn our head and function that way. And so we absolutely can do those images. They're still images though. So that would fall short. That wouldn't be a complete evaluation. All right. Now, okay, so we ask someone to move. We rotate side to side, look up and down, and side bend. Okay. Now that does indicate some level of how well your neck is functioning. Just turning your head side to side, looking up and down, is not enough though. We see nearly everyone we see has migraine symptoms or headaches of any type, and they have a neck problem. Their necks are very stiff. The first and second bone in their neck, that joint is not moving. Their head sitting on the first bone, that's not nodding. Now, that doesn't mean they can't nod. It doesn't mean they can't rotate. They still rotate and they still nod. We have other joints and we have ways of compensating. This happens throughout our body. Our body finds a way to get things done. Our brain sends that motor plan and we figure it out. And so our neck has figured out how to move. So what we need to do is specifically evaluate each segment of the neck. In the upper part of the neck, that upper cervical spine is, which we referenced before in that 2023 study, the upper cervical, which upper part of the neck, they're acknowledging here it has that connection through that trigeminal nucleus. So that's the key part of this. And that's where most of our movement comes from. So if we're not specifically evaluating the upper part of the neck, from movement perspective, there could be an error there. And I would say that that is largely true because we are catching this neck problem, the restrictions in the upper part of the neck, and it's not something that's going to be caught on a still image, and it's not something that's caught with just general range of motion. Okay, so evaluating each, I would say we're pretty good at evaluating the head, not so good at evaluating the neck. So that's my first argument. So one other thing here, I'm going to use an analogy. Okay, this is probably a terrible analogy. It took me a while to think of it, so go easy on me if you think it's terrible. Okay, so we'll use the smoke detector analogy. All right, so if we're trying to evaluate the neck and we're just looking at like a still image, and then we're going down the route of, okay, well, if it's not your neck, then it's your head, and your brain is just spontaneously creating these pain signals of, and it's hypersensitive, because that's essentially what's happening. That's the explanation currently. Okay, it's like saying that smoke detectors just keep spontaneously going off, all right? Now, smoke detectors, they detect smoke, they make a noise. That's their role. That's their function. And it would be odd to think, okay, like, according to the World Health Organization, about 40% of people experience headaches. That's 3.1 billion people in the world. It would be odd to think that 40% of people just have spontaneous neurological events. It would be odd to think that if 40% of smoke alarms were just randomly going off, that it was just the smoke alarms themselves are faulty. Like it would serve to reason. This is why the analogy is not very good. It would serve to reason that we find out why the smoke detector keeps going off. And if we're going down that journey to investigate, we shouldn't send someone in without any senses. Because if they walk into the house and they're like, I can hear the smoke detector, but that's their only form of receiving any input, then they'll say, yeah, it's loud. You know, I checked the battery. The battery was fine. And so I just reset it. Well, if you can't smell for smoke, and if you can't inhale and you're like, you know, coughing up smoke, like if you're not experiencing the problem because you're not looking for it, you're not evaluating it in the right perspective, then you're not going to see it. Man, I just really think that was a terrible analogy, but hopefully it helps. So the problem is, you know, 3 billion people are having headaches. We can't necessarily, and I know that we're talking largely about migraines, so probably a smaller population there. I can't believe that it's just this spontaneous neurological event. We want to find a solution. We want to find the underlying source. Okay. So does it serve to reason that this pathway can go either way? So our healthcare system saying, and that study saying that it's the brain becoming hypersensitive that causes the neck pain. But can it be the neck that causes the brain to be hypersensitive? Well, absolutely. So these nerves are just pathways. They're just transmitting the signal. So the nerves themselves are just like highways, freeways. They're channels that information is sent and received. So they can become hypersensitive, more robust, larger channels that move signals quicker. But the brain receives it and interprets it. Okay. So when the brain becomes hypersensitive, it will pick up that hypersensitivity and sort of attribute the hypersensitivity to all those different pathways. So the original input doesn't necessarily matter so much, but everything on that pathway or on that highway is going to become hypersensitive. And so saying that it's the brain itself becoming hypersensitive and then you get neck pain is just as reasonable, or maybe less reasonable, than saying you have a neck problem that's been overlooked that's causing hypersensitivities, leading to head facial pain, nausea, sensitivities to lights and sounds, all of these things that come from hypersensitivities, which are well-researched, all right? So it lines up really well with the research we already have. We're just reversing the order. And by the way, in that study, I mean, it said, what was the word it used? It's the likely mechanism. So it's not saying like this is exactly what's happening. And it's also not talking with confidence about why it's happening in the first place, just saying that is likely the connection. Okay, so it can go both ways. We have to make sure we evaluate it appropriately. The bigger miss seems to be on the neck side of things. We're missing that evaluation. If we say that the neck is the problem, it lines up with all of the research we're doing, so it's not like it's contradicting evidence that we have. So then how do we prove it? Well, we look at the effectiveness of each. Now, medication obviously can be effective. It's shutting off pain pathways. It's interacting with serotonin receptors or mimicking serotonin. It's shutting off proteins that are transmitting pain signals. It's reducing your nausea. It's doing all these things at the sensory level, at the chemical level. So, of course, it's going to have an impact. So the fact that medication works doesn't necessarily mean that the neck is not the problem. It just means that the input, wherever it's coming from, is being shut off. All right. Now, the medication itself generally is 50% of the time, it's 50% effective. So half the people that take it will find 50% relief. And so it's not as if everyone taking medication is finding the relief they're looking for. About half are finding half of that relief. Now, our results here at Novera are very exciting. I mean, about 80% of people find 80 to 90% relief. When we start with someone, we shoot for 80 to 90% relief. That's not as if the 20% the 20% that don't find relief are a mystery, and they do fall into this category of like their brain is just spontaneously creating this pain pathway. No, there's so many other factors involved. So the source of it is solved, and we can understand it in that three-spoke framework. If you haven't listened to the three-spoke framework, go back to I forget what podcast it was, but it's titled Three-Spoke Framework. I talk about it regularly, but essentially we want to find the source of what's actually causing the pain. We want to look for developmental issues, things that might be a barrier for you getting better, and then also just your general health and systemically. What's the environment the brain's experienced in? And I can't unpack all of that in this episode, but basically there's all these other factors that go into how we experience pain. And so it's a really complicated problem, even though the solution can be understood. It might just take time to get there. Okay, so there's my question asking, getting to why I want to connect the neck as actually a very viable source of the migraine itself, not just this secondary thing that happens with migraine coming from the sensitization. I hope that makes sense. My intent in these podcasts is never to upset anyone, because I know this is a different paradigm than maybe some of you have been told or have been understood to be true. And so my motivation is based on the excitement I get from helping people at Novera that have gone through our process, and knowing that if I communicate effectively enough, I might be able to help you too. Thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. It's a pleasure as I continue on this journey to helping everyone with headaches and migraines break free from a life of fear of their next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. I'll see you next time. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask, because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.